So I want that just to settle with you for a minute. Because there, as it just settles with you for a minute, I want you to think about maybe some synonyms that might fit. Now, if the shoe fits, wear it. So have you ever been called a donkey? Or something similar? You know, because a donkey can be stubborn. I mean, it can be contrary. Yeah, it doesn't fit anybody. It can be cantankerous. Go through the seas there. Certainly a donkey can be strong-willed, if you've ever tried to move one. And donkeys can even eat cactus. Yeah. Have you ever been called a donkey? But see, donkeys can also be pretty sociable. They are highly intelligent. They can be calm if you don't aggravate them. They can make independent decisions. And I will tell you this, a donkey was a very special animal in Scripture. Especially at Passover and Palm Sunday. Donkey was very special. So here's a setting I want to give you guys today, because it's Palm Sunday. And the setting on Palm Sunday was in Jerusalem. I want to take you there for just a few minutes and then bring you back to where we are today and what we represent. So it was called Palm Sunday because of the entry into Jerusalem. Likewise, it's called Palm Sunday. Palm branches were put on the road. It was also called the triumphant entry. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and he was going to be the king, and all of the Jews thought he was going to be the king of the Jews, and he was going to take over and be a king there on an earthly kingdom and oppose the Roman rule and rescue them. It's also called Holy Week or Passion Week. Considered holy because it's the last week that Jesus is here. And passion from the Latin word to suffer. So you've heard it called Palm Sunday. You've heard this week called Passion Week. And you've heard it called Holy Week. And so Jesus is entering in on Palm Sunday to Jerusalem. And he's heading to a specific destination. It's called Golgotha. And that's why he's coming to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it was a busy week. It was just a few days left in Jesus' earthly life. I mean, during this Holy Week, this Passion Week, between Palm Sunday and Easter, he cleansed the temple a second time. He had these arguments with the Pharisees about who he was and who he wasn't. And he taught his disciples about the second coming. As you run through this busy week he had the Last Supper with the disciples in the upper room where he washed their feet. And he had communion with his disciples that night together. They went to the Garden, Gethsemane, to pray. And there he was betrayed by Judas with a kiss. The guards took him away and jailed him. He had several trials that Thursday night, Friday. It was like an all-night thing, an all-nighter. He went from being called Hosanna, which means praise, when he came in, to crucify him, standing before the Roman rulers as he changed out his life for that of Barabbas. He was beaten and scourged, and he was denied by Peter that week. He carried his own cross up a hill, and he was crucified. And he was also there to fulfill a specific prophecy given 450 to 500 years earlier. Now, Jesus and his disciples normally walked everywhere. But to fulfill this prophecy, he rode. We read this earlier this morning, Zechariah 9:9, which is Zechariah quoted Isaiah. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So 400 years earlier, if this prophecy wasn't fulfilled as it was written, then you could point to, say, well, he might have been born of a virgin. He might have been in the line of David. He might have, but he didn't fulfill this prophecy. So if he hadn't fulfilled this prophecy, you could point the finger and say, well, he's really not the Messiah. But he's fulfilled. Amen. Prophecy after prophecy. Amen. After prophecy. Amen. After prophecy. Yes. Now, daughter Zion are those in Jerusalem right then, and daughter of Jerusalem are all the Jewish people. And so I want to just give you, before I leave Palm Sunday, because everybody calls it Palm Sunday, I want you to know why. There's a couple of scriptures, and this is recorded throughout the Synoptic Gospels. In Mark 11, 1 through 3, it says this. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse that's never been ridden, much less a donkey, much less a colt. Yeah, which no one has ridden. You see, God's going to ride things in this world that we can't ride. He's going to get on things that we can't get on, that he's got to do for us. And I want you to see, and I want you to know, that the things that we can't do, God can do. Amen. Which no one has ever ridden. He said, untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, what are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. It's also in Matthew. It's a little more descriptive to match Zechariah. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her, untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away. So a colt is a young male donkey, which is less than 4 years old. And usually a colt will stay with their mother for 3 or 4 years. So don't get off track by, well, one gospel says a donkey, one gospel says a colt with it. It's okay. It's like a family unit. If mama's going to go somewhere, daughter's going to go. And they're going to go together. A foal, which is mentioned in Zechariah, is a male or female donkey about a year old. So here's what you have. You have a young male donkey that had never been ridden, and it's with his mother. Mark 11 says this. So they went and found a colt outside on the street, tied to a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there were asking, what are you doing? Untying that colt. And he answered, as Jesus had told him to do, and the people let him go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it and sat on it. So I want you to see that we got a colt, we got a young donkey, its mother. They're throwing some cloaks over it as we're getting to Palm Sunday. It says in Matthew 21, the disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread the cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So Hosanna means praise. And the Son of David, it's not saying that Jesus is the actual Son of David. It's saying that Jesus is in the lineage of David. If you could go to Matthew 1 and look, you'll go through Matthew 1, and Matthew 1 talks, this one begat, this one. It's like reading Ancestry. You know, it'll go right down to it, and it'll show you that Jesus is in the line of birth of David, who's in the line of birth of Abraham. It just goes all through it. Be a good thing to understand. So Jesus is the son of David because it's like, he's my son. And in John 12, it says it like this, a little more descriptive on palm branches. The next day, a great crowd had come from the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. The festival is this festival around Passover. Passover is that week. And they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So it was Palm Sunday. It was Passion Week. It was Holy Week. And they were getting a donkey with a colt, laying palms and branches on the road to honor him, a cloak on the donkey to ride it in. But I want to tell you why he was there. You see, that's where I want to get to today. With a little history laid down, and hopefully in your mind you're in Jerusalem right now, and you're imagining that you're in the road, and you know, Jerusalem is a big city. Think about the events that we have here. And you easily can get caught up in it. And it says that there was a large crowd that was caught up in it. They saw Jesus riding in on a young donkey with palm branches. You see, he was riding a donkey, a young male donkey that had never been ridden. The donkey was wild. It hadn't been trained or tamed. It was raw. Have you ever been raw? Have you ever been untamed?
Yes.
Yeah. See, but there's something else about this animal that's really important. And it goes to the very heart of the question, why? You know, a donkey? It's an unclean animal. Now, I want you to get the picture now. You got to see this. It's got to sink deep within you. It's an unclean animal. Leviticus 11, 1 through 46. Oh, my goodness. It goes through clean and unclean animals and things. Clean is a split hoof that chews the cud like a cow or a deer. Unclean has no split hoof and doesn't chew the cud like a donkey or a horse, pigs. It goes further, dogs and cats, scaly creatures. It names them all.
Dragons.
Unclean.
Leave my dragons alone.
It was unclean. It was unclean. And it was Passover. Everyone was there for Passover. It was like bike week. The Passover started in Egypt in captivity. That's where the Passover started, in Egypt, when the people were in captivity. And there were plagues that came through as Moses was trying to bring the people out of captivity. The last one was the death of the firstborn. So what happened is, God told Moses to tell the people, on the 10th day, you find a spotless year-old male lamb and you bring it into the house. And on the 14th day, this spotless animal is to be sacrificed and eaten. And you're to get a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood, and put it on the posts and the lintel. And this spotless lamb that you are going to have with you in your house, that was a clean animal, shed its blood, and the blood was on the doorpost and the lintel, so that when the death angel came over, it would see the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel, and it would save those inside that were unclean. And as a death angel came over, all the firstborn of those in Egypt, including slaves, livestock, everything, were destroyed. See, the law requires Passover every year. It's a memorial from the freedom of captivity in Egypt. And each year, a year-old male lamb without defect is to be slaughtered on the night of Passover. No broken bones on it, and they eat it. And that was happening Thursday with Jesus and his disciples. You see the donkey? The donkey represents us. I want you to know, have you ever been called a donkey? If the shoe fits, wear it. Unclean. Does that sound familiar? Rebellious. Does that sound familiar? Unworthy on our own. Does that sound familiar? I want you to see something. Jesus can use unclean things. He rode in an unclean donkey to get into Jerusalem, to get to the hill. That's where he was going. Jesus can use unclean things. And more than that, just like the donkey, we needed redemption from our sin. Listen to what Exodus says about redemption. And it's so uncanny that of all the animals in Scripture that can be mentioned, look at this. Exodus 13, 11 through 13. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you as he promised on an oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. And it says in verse 13, redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons with money. And so if you wanted to keep an unclean animal, you had to redeem it with a clean animal. But if it wasn't redeemed, I want this to get into you today. I want you to carry it this week with you. Because it's important to understand your standing in Jesus Christ. If you couldn't sacrifice a clean lamb for an unclean donkey, you had to break its neck. It had to die. If it's not redeemed, it dies. And you see, the donkey, it needed redemption because it cannot do it on its own. There's only one way. The scripture is really clear. Isaiah said it like this. All of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts that we try to do, we try to fulfill, and we try to get it worked out, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You see, the main point here is this. We're the unclean animal that had to be redeemed by the sacrifice of a spotless firstborn lamb. Because we could not do it on our own. We just couldn't. We don't have redemption in us to redeem ourselves. See, God had a plan for that. He had it laid out. It's written down for us to read and to know and to understand and to take in. John 1:29 says this. Then the next day John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, the bottom line is this. The donkey was taking Jesus to the cross. And we represent the donkey. Unclean and in need of redemption. We can't redeem ourselves. Only one thing can redeem us. It's the sacrifice of a spotless lamb. And you see, Jesus was riding the donkey. But he was really steering it. He wanted them to go get a donkey. He wanted them to get that donkey and bring it because he knew the donkey couldn't make it itself. And so he had to even get on top of the donkey to make sure it goes where it needs to go, to show the sign that I'm here to redeem that is unclean. I'm here to use that is unclean, and I'm going to make it clean by my sacrifice on the cross where this donkey is taking me and going to drop me off just like an Uber.
Thank you.
The donkey fulfilled prophecy. It was an animal of peace. It was not an animal of war. It was unclean, in need of a redeemer. You ever been called a donkey? Have you ever been one? Yeah. He who says he has no sin is a liar. Thank God that Jesus Christ died for our sin. Past, present, future. We can't keep up with the law. We can't ask for forgiveness enough for everything we've done. You could go down that list of clean and unclean animals, and if you make one mistake, you violated the law. And if you made one mistake in one of them, you've made it in all of them. It's a good thing that Jesus Christ paid the price for us. This week, as you're thinking about Palm Sunday and Easter coming, I'd ask you to think about what John said. And I'd like for you in your mind to visualize this week at least once a day. This is an easy all by yourself exercise. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as you think about that, John saw the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John saw the Lamb of God. And I want you just to picture the fact that that Lamb of God is riding into town on a donkey. Something unworthy. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can get in and unpack your word and see what it means. See the imagery that you have for us. See the deep meaning that the prophets foretold. Thank you that we can see that, Father, and we can look back at the Bible through these prophetic books and these historic books, and we can see what the writers meant and saw and said. But Father, that we can feel your presence now and understand that you, the spotless Lamb of God, came to take away the sin of the world. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, or if you're listening today and you don't know the Lord, yeah, it's a great time, Palm Sunday, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to surrender. Because you can't save yourself. Amen. So I offer you today salvation that is so simple. I'm going to talk about it next week. You will love it. Guaranteed. But today, man, if you need to make a decision, make that decision today. If you're not living the life that you should live, that Jesus really wants you to live, that life that he came to redeem, then set it straight today. You got that chance. So what we're going to do, we're going to have those that are our prayers to come to the altar. We're going to offer prayers for you, just like we have the prayer box. We're going to offer those to you now. If you'd like salvation, you come and contact them or any of us. Other than that, hallelujah, you're dismissed. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Louis. I hope you've enjoyed the message today, and I hope that it has encouraged you. If you need any further information about the message or our ministries, please contact us at the numbers on the screen. Our live worship is 10:30 each Sunday morning, and we can also be seen on YouTube and Facebook at thelivingcornerstone.org. Be blessed.